Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Vidal. Lynch fires. Too high. Picked off. Intercepted there by Mickens. And he brings it back to the 48-yard line.
Oh, Carson Wentz. Wow. I love Kevin O'Connell. I do. If you were watching this game last night on Amazon with Carson Wentz doubling over in pain, maybe a half dozen times minimum with a shoulder injury, non-throwing shoulder, but still quite the drama every single time he got hit, every single time he left the field. How did O'Connell leave him in the game last night? Now, the Vikings, that's a team whose season is unsalvageable, much more so than our team. A different kind of Football Friday for all of you today. I am in for the first hour, and then Doc will take over at 11 a.m. I have something that I've got to take care of, so Doc will be in today from 11 to 1. I've got smell test picks coming up in roughly 30 minutes or so. We'll go around the NFL a little bit. Our game, not until Monday night, so a full Sunday of other football. Or maybe for some of you, it's, you know, an opportunity to, you know, cross some things off the honeydew list, or, you know, go to a pumpkin patch and take a hayride, or go antiquing. I don't know what you're going to do on Sunday with our team not playing. You've gotten used to it. We did this a couple of weeks ago, but there are some good games on Sunday and a very intriguing Sunday night game, Packers at Steelers. Max will take us through some of those games in this hour of the show. Real quickly on last night's football game. Yeah, Carson Wentz just flat out stinks. I mean, you can't win with Carson Wentz anymore. He doesn't see it. He was injured. Again, I don't know how they left him in the game. Minnesota is done. I was reading something this morning about Minnesota's schedule. If you didn't know this already, the Vikings have played, already tied with New England, the easiest schedule this year, and they play the hardest schedule the rest of the season. They are 3-4. They're the only team in their division with a losing record. They're going to bring J.J. McCarthy back, and I think we've already seen McCarthy is a young player. He's going to take some time, and you know, maybe he was the guy soft-benched, Max. Maybe there are some Viking fans that think he was soft bench.
Those were the rumors at the time when he was going to get sat.
Yeah, I think Charch actually used that term yesterday. He must have been listening to Sabah. The Vikings look to me like, of the teams that people thought might have a chance to compete for a postseason berth, they look done, and they have got to be absolutely distraught over the decision to let Sam Darnold go. Certainly could have brought Sam Darnold back. Then they could have had options with McCarthy or Sam Darnold. Now, here's a good question to, you know, ask Viking fans. Would Darnold have signed to stay in Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy looming, and the, you know, the yearning to see if they got it right with J.J. McCarthy. So there's a lot of that conversation. Like, Sam Darnold, they should have just kept Sam Darnold. Well, Sam Darnold had a choice in the matter. He was a free agent. He wanted to go somewhere where he was absolutely going to be given the opportunity to start and be the starter and the unquestioned starter, and that's where he is in Seattle, and that team's 5-2. And that team, by the way, surrounding cast, similar to Minnesota, if not better. You know, so I think of all the loaded NFC, you know, and it is loaded, you know, 3-5-2 teams in the NFC West, you know, actually, I think Tampa is the best team in the NFC South, but Carolina's sitting there at 4-3, Atlanta at 3-3, the NFC North with Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago having won 4 in a row, the NFC East with Dallas playing better. The Giants are, you know, with 5 losses, I don't think they're going to get themselves back into the playoff mix, although had they won and kept that big lead in Denver, we may have been talking about that. Bunched up NFC, but I think we can cross one of the teams off the list that many thought would certainly be there contending for one of those 7 playoff spots late in the season. Man, there's been some great quarterbacking to watch this year, and then there are some standbys that you can count on to absolutely stink the joint out, and Carson Wentz is one of them. He just can't see it. He just can't see it. He's never been able to see it. And then he was out there playing injured last night. I don't know. Maybe Kevin O'Connell just said, I'm leaving the dude out there. Whatever. This is going to be it for him. We're going J.J. McCarthy the rest of the way. But the other guy, you know, I don't know how the Jets actually are considering trotting Justin Fields back out there again on Sunday. But I think they are considering that.
They may not have a choice with Tyrod Taylor with that knee injury.
Justin Fields has played 2 of the worst football games for a starting quarterback that I've ever seen back-to-back.
It's been bad.
It's so bad. It's so bad that Woody Johnson, the owner, who's a terrible owner, and they have these issues with quarterbacks all the time, but yeah, it's not good. I want to read... I wanted to mention 2 other quick things. Number 1 is that Jacoby made that Hall of Fame senior list reduction down to 26. Come on, Jake. Let's get him in this particular way through the senior route. That's number 1. Number 2 is that, you know who does a phenomenal job? And I don't think I've talked about it enough over the years. And I don't know if people thought maybe early on he was a bit of a caricature to a certain degree. Brian Windhorst for ESPN is so good. He is such a great reporter, such a great communicator. And I'm telling you, nobody communicated the indictment on Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, etc. from this case yesterday better than he did. I'm just always so impressed with Windhorst. I know that early on it was like, he's LeBron's guy. He wouldn't be, you know, on the air. He wouldn't have this job if he hadn't have been LeBron's friend. No, he has certainly made a place for himself with outstanding talent, work ethic, the whole thing. I think he's just a phenomenal, phenomenal communicator. And, you know, listening to this thing, you know, you really just, you have to separate these things, right? The Chauncey Billups thing is really separate for the most part from the Terry Rozier thing and the Damon Jones thing, and there are other players. You know, Chauncey Billups was involved in rigged poker games, which the mafia was a part of, okay? That is not something I don't think that the NBA is worried about, other than the fact that, hey, Chauncey, Hall of Famer, fine, you're never, ever, if you're convicted of this, going to be anywhere near our league. Now, he also was involved in the dissemination of information relative to injuries, which really, more so than anything else, in the allegations against Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and many other players. Rozier's different. Talk about that in a second. Really, what the overriding, you know, significant charge is, not necessarily, you know, basically tapping out of games so that unders hit. You know, real quickly, basketball's the easiest game to rig because there's so few players, and so few players can impact a game. I mean, you get to one player, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be the best player, and that player's impact on the game is much greater than a football player. Now, if you've got the quarterback, it's different, or a baseball player, or a hockey player. It's just different because you've got five players on the floor at one time. You get to one of them, and you can significantly impact the game. And then unders on prop bets, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, there are prop bets on players every single night. So, as an example, with Terry Rozier, over under 16 and a half points, he can control the under by not scoring more than 16, by tapping out of a game with a fake injury after he has scored 6 or 7 points. He gives that information to bettors and says, bet the under on all of my prop bet numbers, my point total, my assist total, my rebound total, because I'm tapping out. And that's essentially what happened with Terry Rozier. So there is that part of it that is, you know, involved in what got, you know, the news that got broken yesterday. But Rozier was looked into for a game back in March of 2023, even before this. But what was really focused on with the allegations was the distribution of information well in advance related to players who were going to play or not play due to injury. This is something that Windhorse described as a hole that the NBA's been trying to fix. They've been trying to force teams to give that information early enough in the day so that odds makers can adjust the point spread accordingly. But Chauncey Billups was actually accused of doing this as well, as was Damon Jones and several other players, of giving bettors and selling injury information on game day. That was the big part of it. The Billups' big issue, though, is he was involved in rigged poker games. You can read through the highlights of the indictment, just how they do rig the games. X-ray machines, you know, fake a shuffling machine that works. I've played poker. I've actually gotten into it more so in the last year. I kind of missed the wave. But basically, they roped dudes into games in Vegas and in L.A. that were rigged, and the mafia was a part of that with Chauncey Billups. They used Chauncey Billups as a big name to lure players to these games, and they bilked roughly $7 million through rigged poker games. Of course, he could go to jail for that. He is, you know, for the distribution of injury information, that is another part of the allegation against Chauncey Billups. But the poker stuff is separate. That the NBA, other than, you know, saying you're banned from the NBA, they didn't have anything to do with that. They do have to fix the issue of injury information and how it gets distributed publicly and the timing of that. By the way, the two NBA games last night, I know nobody's watching, but the Thunder opened up their season with back-to-back double overtime wins. They opened up the other night with a double overtime win in their first game of the season. Who did they play the other night? I'm forgetting now. Who did they open up with the other night?
The Rockets.
The Rockets, thank you. They won that game in double overtime, and then last night they beat Indiana in double overtime. No team has ever opened up the season with two double overtime games. In the game last night, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, the MVP from last year, had 55 points. By the way, Aaron Wiggins, Terp fans, big game for him, had 23, was on fire from behind the arc. And then in the late game, that went to overtime as well, and the Warriors beat the Nuggets 137-131. The two NBA nights on back-to-back nights on ESPN, kicking off the new era of, you know, Ernie, Chuck, Kenny, Shaq, man, they had some games to talk about. All right, I wanted to read this. It comes from Randall. Randall writes, Kevin, I'm a sports psychologist, and while fan behavior isn't my specialty, I know psychologically damaged fan bases when I see them. Nothing exemplifies the damage done by the Dan Snyder to the Commanders Redskins fan base more than the sudden turn by many against the GM, coach, and QB. Last year was actually an uncomfortable place and something called trauma bonding. That's what's occurring right now. It's a form of Stockholm syndrome where, for many Washington fans, they are finding it difficult to engage in behavior that will release or detach themselves from their abuser. This is great, Randall. I don't know if you're really a sports psychologist, but I love this so far. This is why you've heard from so many fans who have taken the first sign that last year was a fluke, was abnormal, and used it as a reason to embrace an abusive past, which became their norm. Thought this would help. Randall, I guess, responding to a lot of the conversation this week about, you know, Adam Peters is, you know, he stinks, Dan Quinn stinks, the quarterback has regressed so much, they got the wrong guy at number two. And he calls this trauma bonding. I've never heard of this, but it's a form of Stockholm syndrome, which I have heard of. That's where you sympathize, right, with your captor?
Yes.
Yes. And he says, Washington fans are finding it difficult to engage in behavior that will release or detach themselves from their abuser. This is why you've heard from so many fans who've taken the first sign that last year was a fluke, was abnormal. They're embracing their abusive past because it became their norm. I read this last night, and I've used this analogy before about what we all went through together as fans of this team. You know, and I've said we were institutionalized. You know, like Shawshank Redemption, institutionalized. When Red, you know, said when he was talking about Brooks Hadlin, these walls are funny. You know, first you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized. And that's it. As a fan base, we're not doing well right now with our freedom. We got released, and we feel like we still need, you know, we still need to ask our boss if it's okay to go to the bathroom. That's kind of where we are right now. We have our freedom with Josh Harris, a good supportive, you know, outside group, you know, ready to help us. You know, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels. And they've already done so much to help us adapt to this new world outside the walls. They gave us a massive reason to party last year that we were out. You know, we were finally out of this dark cave. Some of you have, you know, held back. You waited for the party to kind of, you know, die down a bit so you could say, yeah, I knew it wouldn't last. I knew it couldn't last. Put me back in my cell. I just want to polish rocks. Isn't that what Andy Dufresne was doing? Was it for a chessboard? I think it was.
Correct.
No. Andy Dufresne, remember, said to Red, hope is a good thing. You know, remember, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And he, you know, signed off on that letter that he left in that main, you know, hillside field by that big oak tree. He said, you know, I hope this letter finds you well. No, it's not finding many of you well. A lot of you aren't well yet. You're just going to have to figure out how to get through a rough 7-game patch. It's 7 games. There's some truth in this. There is some PTSD. There is some damage that is coming to the fore here in this first adversity moment. By the way, you know, last year I remember I talked a lot about, you know, Jaden as we were going through the season, and he was just checking one box after another, you know, throws with anticipation, reads defenses, scrambles when he has to, you know, can run, can throw, deep throw, touch throw, medium throw, short throw, everything. Last, you know, game-winning moments, yes, Cincinnati, check the box. Comeback wins, yes, check the box. You know, and I remember saying, you know, let's see how he handles that first, you know, multi-game losing streak where everybody's looking at him and blaming him. And they did have a three-game losing skid last year, but it really wasn't on him. I think we knew at that point the only chance out of the three-game losing skid was him. And then it was about, can he do it in a big game that matters? Well, he did it against the Falcons late in the year, the Eagles late in the year, and then two playoff road wins, where he was the reason more than anybody else was that the team won. But I actually think right now is the moment in which he is facing the most adversity. He is being questioned from an injury standpoint. Is this going to be the life we lead with Jaden Daniels? Perhaps, in and out of the lineup, year in and year out. I think that's the biggest and most legitimate concern at this point. Actually, for me, the only legitimate concern. I'm not concerned about anything that he's doing as a quarterback. 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, we thought he had played at an elite level after the first two drives. I mean, Jacory Kroski-Merritt was going to push for NFC Rookie of the Year after that game. Trey Amos, I mean, going back to, summer. Remember all the talk about the secondary over the summer? That's why the training camp days and these preseason games are completely worthless to spend any real time obsessing over. They mean nothing. What matters over the summer are injuries, holdouts. That mattered. Everything else is a joke. The biggest storyline coming out of training camp was, oh my God, we got a secondary. Last year that was a problem. This year not going to be a problem. But look, come on, people. Wake up. Dan is gone. He's gone. We've got adults in charge. This is a real organization. And the new GM and the new head coach, if you want to just look at results and nothing else, 17-10, 2-1 in the postseason. That's their one season. How could you question that? If you weren't willing to give them the benefit of the doubt before last year, I think you should really consider doing it after the first year that they had. 14-5, 2-1 in the postseason. I am, not blindly, I think I've got a lot of good reasons beyond the record that supports giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, it starts with the culture, which has turned around much faster than anybody thought it could turn around, right? I mean, players and coaches actually want to come here. Remember Ben Standing's annual agent survey from over the summer? He does it. It's such a great, survey that he does with NFL agents. I pulled some of the quotes from that annual agent survey about Washington, about Adam Peters. Washington is the most stable organization from top to bottom in the NFL. That's a quote from an NFL agent about our organization. Another quote, they emphasized culture and character. And I don't mean that just with the players, but with the front office and the coaching staff as well. Everyone talks about family these days, right? Every company's a family. You can never truly have a genuine family dynamic with a team because it's a business. But I think that Adam and the guys have done the best job in the league of really trying to put that together and create that. Another quote, I know it's only one season, but I think what Adam Peters has done and what I think he's going to continue to do, I think the culture that he's building is going to sustain success for a long time. Closed quote. That was just 2 months ago. 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, Kroski-Merritt, Trey Amos, Jaden's back. What'd you say, Max? Jaden was back. Slow start. A-level, game after the slow start for Jaden. Defense even looked acceptable. And this culture that they have created, you've got to trust that this tough stretch, lots of injuries. Truth is, one fumble away from being 4-3 against the Bears, and I think the hysteria would be dialed way back, because you could then say, well, look, we didn't have a starting receiver in the Dallas game, and the defense would still be a concern. But that fumble combined with what happened in Dallas made things seem, awfully dark right now. I can't sell you on a Monday night upset. I can tell you that. I cannot sell you on that. But I can hang on to what they've created and being able to look it in the face, this adverse period, and overcome it. you know, and come out on the other side looking much better. It's possible that this will be a year over a sustained run of success that was just problematic because of all the injuries. It's possible that this year doesn't turn around. But I think all they got to do is win three of the next four. All they got to do. Big challenge, no doubt. And be 6-6 heading into December. And then everything's back on the table. You don't have to be good now. You know, you have to hang in there now. So that if you do get healthier, if you do become a better team, you can play games that are meaningful in December and January. I don't think that's off the table. I can sell you on that. I can't sell you on Monday night, though. That's for sure. Smell test when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk create in Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
So last week, 5-5-1 on my smell test picks. That's the first non-winning week of the season. Seven straight winning weeks, winning record weeks, and then a 500 week. I understand you lose money when you go 500 in sports betting. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. But we, I said, correction coming at some point. If the correction is a 5-5-1 week, we'll take that. All right, let's start tomorrow. Oklahoma's laying 5.5 against an Ole Miss team that lost last week in that great game against Georgia. I think people still believe in Ole Miss, and they're really unsure about Oklahoma and the offense, although Mateer was a bit better last week. Oklahoma's very nasty defensively. That's a big number. The public's playing the dog in this game. I'll take the Sooners and lay the 5.5. UCLA's been on a roll. They've won three in a row with their new coach, their new offensive coordinator, Neuheisel's son. They beat the Terps last week for their third straight. They knocked off Penn State, remember, a few weeks ago to get it started. They're playing Indiana, the number two team in the country. Indiana's laying 26. This is another game in which the average bettor thinks it's too many points. They're taking UCLA. I'll take Indiana and lay the 26. Iowa's laying a huge number at home against Minnesota. Minnesota's a 5-2 football team. They've played well recently. They beat Nebraska last week, beat Purdue. They've won 3 out of the last 4. Iowa is playing better, but they barely hung on to beat Penn State. This is another favorite that I'm giving you. Iowa minus the 9. The public's playing the Gophers plus the 9. I hate giving out favorites. Vanderbilt has become, you know, Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt team is a public darling now, and they are a good football team. And LSU, a good defensive team, couldn't stop them. So why are they only a 3-point favorite at home against Mizzou? I'll take Mizzou plus the 3. And then Cincinnati's been on a roll. Really good football team. They're laying a short number at home against Baylor. The number is 4. I'll take Baylor. And then Miami after they lost last week and Stanford after they beat Florida State. Miami's a 30-point favorite. I'll take the Canes there. Let's go to Sunday. Sunday was the problem last week, Sunday and Monday night. I was 5-1-1 in college and then 0-4 in the NFL. And I've given you some bad football teams that have covered. Last week, the bad football teams did not cover. Last week was an absolute monster week for the public bettor. You know, favorites overall were 12-3 straight up, and all of the biggest public favorites all covered. You know, Carolina covered. I gave out the Jets last week. The Patriots covered. I gave out Tennessee. Chicago covered. A lot of people. I didn't give out New Orleans, but I was close to giving out New Orleans. The Monday night game, everybody was on Seattle. Houston, I gave that out. That didn't get home. A lot of the big-time public favorites covered last week. It's not going to move me off my mark, my formula for looking for the games in which most of you think the line is wrong, and I'm going to go the other way, along with, you know, some information. So here's the weirdest line of the week. The 49ers on a roll. They come in playing Houston, who's banged up at wide receiver. No Kirk, no Nico Collins, and the Texans are favored at home against the 49ers. They're a 2-point favorite. I'll take the Texans. They're a major anti-public favorite. I'm giving out too many favorites. I'm going against New England again. They've become a major public betting darling, and they've delivered here recently. They're giving 7 to the best defensive team they've faced all year long, Cleveland. I'll take the Browns plus the 7. Am I going to do it again with the Jets, Max? Yes, the Jets plus the 7 at Cincinnati. And then the Saints may be the biggest anti-public play on the board. They're getting 4 at home against Tampa Bay. So Oklahoma, Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, Baylor, and Miami on Saturday. The Texans, Browns, Jets, and Saints on Sunday. Steven Spector from Kansas City to talk about the Chiefs next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Joining me right now, Stephen Spector. You guys remember Stephen. He's been on the show before to talk Chiefs. Stephen worked with us back at 980 for many years until he left for Kansas City sometime around 2014, 2015, I think, Stephen, somewhere around there. And he is the program director and a talk show host at Sports Talk The Fan 96.5 in Kansas City. You can follow Stephen on X on Twitter at Stephen Spector 10. Let me just start with this because I think the whole league is talking about it after one of the more lopsided box score wins I've ever seen against the Raiders on Sunday, but four out of the last five, two straight, including the game a week ago Sunday against the Lions at Arrowhead. And now everybody has come to the conclusion that as the team's gotten healthy, Kansas City once again is the team to beat and the team that will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Is that what you guys think?
That's the dominant conversation here, and the prevailing thought is, yes, that this is the favorite to come out of the AFC. And I think it's twofold. One, you mentioned they are 4-3, but the rest of the NFL seems like they're 4-3. Yeah. I mean, the Bills now have two losses. You know, the Chargers are 4-3 and going in the wrong direction. The Broncos are 5-2, but that's a miraculous 5-2 after narrowly escaping the two New York teams. You're not really scared of anybody in the AFC North. Yeah, the Colts are 6-1, but you know, if the playoffs started today and Daniel Jones and the Colts were taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I think the prevailing thought would be, yeah, the Chiefs are the better team. So in a muddled AFC, the Chiefs are certainly playing the best football in going into week 8. Yes, that's true. The second part is, in the conversation that's happening now here in Kansas City is, you know, despite a 15-2 last year, that was not a very good Chiefs team. And it was not an enjoyable watch. They got, let's call it what it is, a little bit lucky at the end of games. But that was a flawed roster with not a lot of good offensive weapons and a good defense. And now all of a sudden the Chiefs have a good defense and what appears to be now the best offense in football. You know, they made all these investments in Rashee Rice in the second round a couple years ago. Xavier Worthy last year in the first round. They signed Hollywood Brown. Up until last week, they'd never played together. You know, it took 14 months for those three wide receivers to play together. And now that you have those three guys, you add in Juju, Kelsey doesn't have to be the main focus point. The offensive line, you know, a little bit banged up going into Monday night against the Commanders is off to a great start. This is now back to an offense that we saw in 2018, 2019, 2020, where if you are not going to score 28 points against the Chiefs, you are not in the conversation of winning against them. So to answer your question, I think they should be the AFC favorites. That doesn't mean they're going to win. But right now they're playing the best football in the AFC.
Yeah, you answered my next question, and I thought the answer would be that this is a much better team this year in terms of their potential because of the offensive, you know, weaponry now than it was last year. You know, Josh Simmons was that first-round pick, picked after, by the way, Washington selected Josh Connerly Jr. At tackle as well. And there's a really odd story about your first-round pick from Ohio State. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so this is a guy who, you know, if you listen to the draft experts, would have been picked in the top 10 if he's healthy, but he had a weird knee injury at Ohio State last year, and he fell to the Chiefs at the final pick of the first round. Wasn't expected to be the starter, wasn't expected to be ready by training camp, and all of a sudden he was, and he was their best offensive lineman from the jump. And Kevin, you'll understand this reference. A lot of people think he's like a young Trent Williams. And you remember how good Trent was
from
the early days in Washington.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Trent Williams comparisons to Josh Simmons. And a couple weeks ago, you know, they were going into that Monday night game against Jacksonville, and all of a sudden he popped up with a questionable with an illness. And then he was a no-show on Sunday night against the Lions, and obviously did not play this last Sunday morning against the Raiders. And they're just saying it's a family situation. There's no information out there. He's not with the team, but you know the expectation is he's certainly not going to play on Monday night. I mean, unless something happens in the next 24 to 48 hours before Andy Reid speaks. But the Chiefs are certainly without their dominant left tackle. Now, they've replaced him with the guy that they made a splash with in the offseason in Jalen Moore, so they're good at left tackle. They're certainly not weak there, but they're not at their full strength without their first-round pick.
Is it one of the things so people don't know exactly what it is specifically, but is it an AWOL situation? I mean, did he just leave the team, or is this excused?
I truthfully don't know the answer to that. The media doesn't know the answer to that, but if you were to poll people here, it would skew towards AWOL, unexcused absence, but that is not a confirmed opinion. That is what the media believes to be.
Strange situation, because he really did start off like a house of fire, and I was actually, you know, Washington had the opportunity to draft him, and I'm wondering if, you know, something that's going on in his life right now, and you pray for him, and if it's a family situation, if it's a personal situation, you want it to work out. But I'm wondering if that's one of those things that maybe it's the reason he fell a little bit further in the draft than a lot of people thought. Who knows? All right.
Yeah, there were rumblings about, you know, the dreaded word character concerns going into the draft, but nobody really ever uncovered issue with the law or issue with teammates, and so maybe it ties back something into that. But the reason he really slipped in the draft is he had a knee injury that is uncommon in the NFL, and that's mostly why he slipped. But again, you know, I'm not in the inside of those draft rooms where they know every piece of information, but that could certainly be one of those causes that had him, you know, fall out of the top 10 to number 32 overall.
Have you guys been talking in Kansas City this week about how bad Washington is defensively?
No, because after that, you know, there's 24 hours of I've never seen anybody beat another NFL team like that.
Yep.
That was Monday's conversation. Tuesday was much more about the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC West, and this is the best team that they've had in a number of years. Honestly, the focus has not even really started on Washington due to it being Monday night.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, the NFL schedule is a little bit weird, but it's mostly been about the Chiefs are back and the national conversation surrounding the Chiefs. So our focus on the Commanders hasn't even really started at the moment.
So how
outside of J.D. Daniels being hurt, obviously, that goes without saying.
Right. They are right now a horrendous defensive football team, especially if you look at every opponent they've played that's had capability offensively. It's been a nightmare, as it was on Sunday against a really good offensive team in Dallas. So one more question about the offense, because you've told us a lot about it already. You know, with Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Smith-Schuster, the key, though, was Rice, right? Like, getting Rashee Rice back is a game changer for that offense.
Absolutely. But the other game changer is Xavier Worthy. And we saw this. There was a lot of panic here through the first 3 weeks of the season. You know, they Rashee Rice is out. He's suspended for the first 6 weeks for some off-field incidents 2 years ago. But Xavier Worthy coming into year two. And then all of a sudden, on the third play of the season, he runs into Travis Kelce, and they lose their top weapon.
Yep.
They then struggle to score against Philadelphia. They barely beat the Giants. And then all of a sudden, he comes back, and they haven't scored less than 30 points since Xavier Worthy's return. So there's some precursor to getting Rashee Rice back. Now, Rashee Rice is the better wide receiver. I would rather have Rashee Rice than Xavier Worthy, but the combination of what those two guys do on the field, Worthy being the burner but still a great receiver down the field, stretching the defense, and Rashee Rice doing all the dirty work underneath, the catch, run after the catch stuff, the two of them complement each other, and then Juju and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce all play off of those two guys. So, again, we got to see 4 weeks of it last year with Rice and Worthy on the field. We got to see it for basically one half of football against the Raiders because they called off the dogs in the third quarter. So it'll be interesting to see how those two play with each other, but I think it's 1A and 1B between Worthy and Rice about who's the most important guy.
Sticking with the offense, actually, does Juwan Taylor, how many penalties does he have a game? Your right tackle. I mean, by the way, the only reason we know that is because we, you know, every NFL fan gets to see the Chiefs basically every week. But it is amazing to me how many times he either lines up, you know, too far back or false starts.
Yep. So he had a number of issues in week one in Brazil. Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, said, we're going to address it. They didn't have any issues in week two or three. Then he had issues in week four, and he said, all right, this time I'm going to address it. And they haven't had any Juwan Taylor issues in the last 3 weeks. So
really,
I guess they just need to keep reminding him that you need to stay on sides, you need to stop holding. But listen, the guy's been the most penalized offensive lineman in the league for over half a decade. So he has a penalty problem, but he is currently on a pretty good three-week streak of keeping it quiet.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the numbers. So, good three-week stretch. He's still second in the league in total penalties against. On the Raider game, I talked about this on the show either yesterday or on Monday. I've never seen a box score look like that. I mean, you were, you know, witness to the game start to finish. I know the Raiders.
I turned it off in the third quarter. Once Gardner Minshew comes in, I'm on to red zone in the witching hour.
That 30-3 first downs, you know, 400 yards to 80 or whatever, 77 plays to 30 plays. So in talking about that game, what was the conversation? I'm assuming there were some – I was looking for some level of information regarding records set, and I couldn't really find it, but I've never seen a box score in an NFL game that looked like that.
You know, we've seen scores where, you know, like I'm thinking about the Dolphins and Broncos 2 years ago, where it was like 70-20. Whatever it was. But I remember watching that game. It was like, it's not like the Dolphins or the Broncos didn't belong. Like, still two NFL teams, still, you know, guys moving the ball up and down the field. It was like varsity versus JV on Sunday morning. I mean, it was, one of our afternoon hosts said Ohio State basically could have done what the Raiders did on Sunday. And nobody thinks that any college team could compete with an NFL team. But that Raiders team looked as disinterested and as heartbroken as you could possibly look as a professional football player. Then you lose Max Crosby and Jacoby Myers isn't playing. Brock Bowers was ruled out earlier in the week. It was just, it was never good from the get-go, but I've never seen a team as inept as they were offensively. You know, defensively, you can say what you want. The Chiefs were, you know, rolling on all cylinders. They get Rashee Rice back. But really, offensively, I've never seen a worse performance from an NFL team as I did from the Raiders on Sunday. It was just pathetic.
All right, tell me what Washington gets to go up against offense against the Chief defense. Obviously, it's no Jaden Daniels in the game, but I've loved this Karlaftis since they drafted him. Tell me about, you know, the players and the kind of defense Kansas City's playing this year.
Yeah, the weakness for the Chiefs team, if you're talking about the weakness of the 53-man roster, is pass rush. They have not been great this year, and Karlaftis has been fine, and Chris Jones is getting double-teamed a lot, but they do not put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So if you're looking for a glimmer of hope, if you're a Commanders fan, and it's maybe Marcus Mariota has a little bit more time to make the right decision. And, you know, if McLaurin and Debo are back and, you know, Kroski Merritt's got a little bit of time or, you know, to make his cuts and the running game gets going and Mariota can use his legs, that's a glimmer of hope if you're looking for something offensively. But The secondary is good. The linebackers are playing great. They made a switch with their safeties a couple weeks ago. So secondary and linebackers are not where you're going to get the Chiefs. Where you're going to get the Chiefs is good protection from your offensive line, double-teaming Chris Jones, keeping Karlaftis off him. But if you don't get pressure, you can make some plays in the passing game. So if Mariota is able to do that, that's a recipe and a route for success. But again, it starts at 28 points. And if you don't think Marcus Mariota and the Commanders are putting up 28 points, it's really a dead issue.
Yeah, that's 28 against a normal defense. That's my biggest concern going in as well. So you've just summed it up. 28 from Washington, where they have no shot, unless we get one of those crazy turnover games. And Washington's created the fewest turnovers of any team in the league, not named the Jets so far. So, and you guys don't turn it over, right, for the most part?
Patrick Mahomes, I think, has two interceptions for the season. They don't really fumble the ball. I'm knocking on wood as I say all these things. So, yeah, it would take, you know, it happened in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago where a couple turnovers ended up coming back to bite the Chiefs. So if that happens, all bets are off in any NFL game. But keeping the ball is one of the strengths of the Chiefs offense for sure.
By the way, here's a question. Harrison Butker, and it started kind of last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not the kicker that he was a few years ago.
Nope. They held him back against the Raiders this past weekend, but he has had a mistake in 5 of 6 games. And those mistakes, you can point directly to a couple of those 3 losses. So he has certainly not been... It's not a distance issue. It has been an accuracy issue. So he's still good from 50-plus, but you're talking about an extra point here or a chip shot there, it's no longer an automatic done deal.
Steven Spector, everybody. Yes, the guy that was on the air with me producing the day that the earthquake hit in August of 2011. That means we'll have a 15-year anniversary coming up this summer that we will celebrate together. I'll call you to remind you of that. Always good to catch up. Hope things are well. Enjoy the game Monday night.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for having me as always.
All right, that is it for me today. Doc's going to take over here in the final 2 hours. He's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.